Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. If you're here tonight, you're a man of God, you know the spiritual warfare that must be fought tonight. So I ask you if you would pray for me tonight that God would help and have His way in this service. And I want to see God do something tonight. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, maybe you've come tonight feeling like you was all right. And somebody left last night and said, "You made me doubt my salvation." I won't say that ain't me. It takes God doing that. And I hope and pray that if your salvation is doubtable, that you'll doubt it tonight. Amen. God, He said, "Examine yourself whether you be in the faith." And do you well to do a self-examination tonight. And you know, I see a callous spirit about sinners tonight among God's people. I would tonight among us that God would give us a burden again. To weep tears over them that are around us and are lost and undone without God. We sit in the congregation every service with folk that are on their way to hell. Oh, that it break our heart again for their soul. And sometimes we sit around the table with folk that are going to hell. Oh, that it break our heart tonight and to burden us. I'll begin reading in verse number 19 of Luke 16. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame.' Abraham said, 'Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence.' Then he said, 'I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wilt send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' Amen. Abraham said unto him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent.' He said unto him, 'They hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.'" You may be seated.
Amen.
God would help me for a little while tonight, and I trust He will. I won't preach on this thought, the torments of hell. Hell is a place of torment. We don't hear a lot of preaching on hell much anymore. I don't know if we're afraid we're going to scare somebody or lose a paycheck, but there's very little preaching on hell in our day. Hell is a
real place. It's a place of torment tonight, and it's full of real people. There's people in hell that you probably even know their name tonight. I'll tell you, friend, it's a place, an awful place, somewhere in the center of the earth that burneth with fire and brimstone, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, and all they that leave this world and do not know the Lord, and whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be bound up and cast in the lake and burned with fire and brimstone, and forever will be tormented in the flame. It's a real place tonight. The torments of hell. I've got family in hell tonight. I got friends I grew up with.
Yeah.
In hell tonight.
Yeah.
I won't tell you it's a real place. The torments of hell. I see this rich man. Bible said that he wore purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I will tell you, this ain't just some story. It ain't just some parable. It's a real man. It's a certain rich man and a certain beggar named Lazarus. This is real. This rich man was doing well. He had in his lifetime no need for anything. He would not have to ask anybody for a dime all his life. He didn't have to beg. He didn't have to plead. He didn't have to borrow. He didn't have to steal. He had everything and then some. He probably threw out more than the beggar even needed to be sustained, because he was so rich and had so much and loved and increased with goods, and he fared sumptuously every day. But then the day came when everything changed for that beggar.
Right.
Bible said that the rich man also died. You see, the beggar had not a good day. All his life is in pain. All his life is in agony. All his life is in turmoil. All his life is in torture. How about a day change for him?
Yeah.
Amen. I want to tell you something, child of God. It might be rough down here.
Yeah.
It might be rough from here down to the graveyard. It might be rough from here to the trump sounds. But glory to God. There he is coming today. But that beggar didn't find much hope in this life. He didn't find much hope in this world. But he had hope for another day. Amen. Everything changed for that beggar one day. Amen. Well, I wasn't going to get on that just yet, but I'm here, so let's just stay there. I want to tell you something, friend. This story ain't all about the rich man. I mean, God, I'm glad I had it so far tonight.
Yeah.
I ain't going down. I got it on my cell phone out there in my car. My granny, I told y'all about my granny. And I guess it was a year ago, it was past May. Granny was 92. And she passed away. And my granny's the godliest woman I've ever known, the prayerest woman. And I'm not going to get it all out of the time. But when my granny passed away, she was down at hospice. They had her in a hospice house. She'd been for days, I don't know, a couple of days. I was in Texas on a job, and I had to fly home when she passed, and I couldn't be there, and it broke my heart. But they videoed her. They said, "Brother, now," they said, "Dad, you gotta understand before you watch this video." I said, "Yeah, Dad." He said, "You gotta understand what's going on." He said, "For 2 days now, Granny's kind of had her head laid back, and her eyes have been rolled back in her head, and her mouth open, and she's got that death stare, you know. And then she's got that death rattle going on, and said, it's just eating me now for about 2 days." He said, "But you know, every year at Thanksgiving and at Christmas, we'd all gather around Granny's house at the table, and Granny would say, 'I just won't thank God for saving me. I won't thank you. Thank you for being good to me. I'm glad none of you is in prison. I'm glad none of you is in hell and none of you is in jail.' That's what she always say. All of you is going to church. And as far as I know, all of you saved. It's old enough. And I won't thank God for that." And then she'd look around and say, "Anybody else got anything you want to say?" And then some of them say, "Thank God for saving my family." You know, we thank God. And some of them testify, "Well, that's what Granny did." Amen. God, she'd been laying there like that. And my daddy went out with a preacher, my oldest brother, and they went out on the porch there at hospital. And the preacher wanted to pray with them. And they got done praying. They come back in. And he said, "We've been around the bed singing because when you should check out." And said, "We've been around the bed singing." And it said, "About that time, we come back in from prayer, and Granny sat up." Pull that pillar up. Look around. And she said, "Anybody else got anything to say?" Yeah. It's like she had done every Thanksgiving, every Christmas. Thank God, everybody said, "We love you, Mama. We love you, Granny. We love you. We love you. We're going to miss you. Thank God, we'll see you in the morning." You know, stuff like that. But about that time, Granny looked past all the windows and looked past the ceiling. And she was looking on yonder beyond the stars. And she said, "Oh, there's so much to see. There's so much to tell you." And she starts waving her hands. And she said, "Jesus in all his glory. In all his glory. In all his glory. In all his glory." And she gets to shout, "Glory. Hallelujah." And she puts her hands down. And she said, "Well, I'm giving. I guess the Lord has to finish this prayer." And in about an hour, she slipped out. And went home. The Lord. Hey, thank God. How my dog ain't going to hell. I'm glad one of these days I'll check out. And I'm going to be carried by the angels.
Yeah.
Old brother Major Jackson sitting down there at that hospital. And tell us that. See the preacher looked out the window and said, "You see them two fellas dressed in white?" He said, "No, I don't see nothing." "Yeah, preacher, they come to get me."
Yeah.
He said, "Look out, preacher, they're out there standing by the light pole." He said, "No, I don't see nothing." He said, I didn't see a thing. He said, "I got out, prayed with him, went down to the elevator. I was getting on the elevator. They called code red, code whatever it was, from that room." He said, "I run back down there. And before I get back down there, that room gets done gone. Them two men done come in the window. And more is so."
Yeah.
Hey, thank God. I'm glad, thank God, it might not be all well here, Brother James Shaver. Thank God, there might be doctor's visits and pain in your head. Thank God, pain in your body. Pain all day. I'm a glory of the
Lord.
I've got hope beyond hope.
Yeah.
I've got grace beyond grace. I've got hope for a day.
Amen.
Thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. But I will tell you something, friend. Everything changed that day for the rich man, too.
Yeah, it
is. He incurred sumptuously every day. Yeah. There come a day.
Yeah.
Now he that never had day for him, he's begging.
Yeah.
You imagine what torment for a rich man.
Yeah.
He is to beg. Amen. I'm going to tell y'all something now. The poorest of us right here, we're still not beggars.
Amen. Come on.
We throw more scraps out than some whole families eat.
Yeah.
In third world countries all the
time.
We go out one meal.
Yes.
Amen. We got it made. We're rich.
Amen.
And I'm preaching to somebody, and you come down in the service tonight and down in the deep of your heart, you're thinking, oh, I'm all right. I'm doing well. I have no need of salvation. I'm doing all right. I'm just as good as so and so. I'm doing as well as they're doing. If they're in, I'm in. But I'm going to tell you, God ain't going to judge you by them. Judge you by the darling Son, Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to line up. And you're going to have to line up. And you say it once away, or you'll not enter into this kingdom. Amen. My God. The torment of hell. He said, have mercy on me.
I don't tell you that's coming today, it's going to be too late.
Right. Amen.
You'll beg. You'll cry. You'll plead. But it's going to be too late.
That's right, sir.
Amen. I may have told this out there tonight. And I wasn't going to tell it tonight, but it's right there. The Lord just wants to.
Bless you, Lord.
I got a family member. She was a wicked woman. She was vile. She didn't care nothing about God and things of God. I hadn't been saved very long. The preacher said, Dale, don't you go with me and see some family? We went over to their house. And she's sitting there on the couch. He just kind of got up and went out. We didn't even want to hear it. Just went out. And we sat there and talked to her. The preacher asked her, you know, told her some things and how to get her to come to church. And she told him, she said, hell can't be as bad as what I've been all these years. He said, oh, you have no idea what hell's going to be like. I want to tell you, you can't fathom how good heaven's going to be.
Amen.
And at the same token,
right,
you can't even imagine how,
right,
how bad hell's going to be.
Right.
I'm afraid all these video games,
come on,
these movies and these,
yeah, come on,
things that you're putting now in the television programs have just about callous stuff to the fear of hell.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They tell me that some zombie junk going on. And every time they put out a new movie, it's got to have some kind of zombie or some demonoid in it or some kind of thing. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You better not have to make your children of that garbage. Oh, when God gets to deal with them in a service like this about hell, they may think that's all it's talking about.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 I want you to know hell's a real place. Place of torment. The torment of burying for mercy, burying for water.
Sure.
Amen.
Right.
Tell you what I'd do when I found you. If you just determined, I felt like last night God's really dealing with somebody's heart.
Bless you,
Father. That's here right now tonight.
Bless you, Father.
Well, preacher.
And I felt that in my heart.
Bless you.
Tell you what I'd do as you. See, what I'd do, I'd go by that water tank tonight.
Yeah.
Get me a good, cool drink of water.
Yes, sir.
There ain't going to be none of that
pale. Amen.
Amen.
He said, Santa laughs. That may get the tip of his finger water.
Yeah.
Cool my tongue.
Yes.
There'll be no water pale.
Right.
Amen. See, what I'd do, I'd go, is it Taylor? Is that your name, brother? With a man. Tell you what I did, I'd go back there and I'd say, well, Taylor, and I'd hold his baby.
Well,
I'd hold that little old baby and I'd kiss him. There ain't going to be no living hell.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. I'd say, what I'd do, I'd come up here and I'd say, just put your hand above your neck. I'd thank you for every time you preached your guts out to me and told me and my family about the way of God and the way of the cross to be called and the fear of hell and the doors of heaven. Oh, he ain't going to be down there when you get there.
Amen.
Come on. I'd hug my family and my friends.
Yes.
Ain't going to be no friends in people.
Right.
Amen. No. Ain't going to be no family in people.
No.
Amen.
I'd hug them up real good past you tonight. Boy, I left out of here.
Bless you.
You may be in hell tomorrow.
Bless you, Lord.
Come on.
I've done some research today.
I can find it. And I wrote it down. There it is.
58.2. Last time I done this research, it's 55 million people in the world die. Now it's up to 58.2 every year die with this world. 144,995 a day. Every day.
Yeah.
Almost 155,000 died knowing God. Y'all hearing me?
Come on, Larry.
Come on.
Every hour.
Yeah.
6,458 every hour die and leave this world.
Yeah.
Every minute, 107.6.
Yeah.
Every second, almost two people every second. It come out to about 1.8. Every second.
I don't know how long I've been preaching.
I should pause.
Every second, there's two dropping off. Going out in the turn.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. About the time I snap my finger. Who's to say? Who's to say tonight?
The law.
Right.
One minute or two won't be you here in a snap.
The law.
Who's to say tonight? One of them two won't be one of your family members that's lost and without God.
The law. Amen.
And about all we do, Brother James, in a prayer room, is you say, pray for my children.
Yeah.
But not a tear shed, not a tear drop off her face, but just say, pray for my lost love. And we never see them in prayer. Cry, thank God to save them. Amen. Lost men says you want to see them saved so bad you push the plate away.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll just go pray. My wife called me one morning. I was working bitch. My little daughter Haley, I told you about her getting saved. That's like the other night. My little daughter Haley was all little. Hannah just been saved, so she's about 9, I guess, or 10, somewhere right in there. So Haley had been about 8 or 9. The boys had been about, 7. And I called Miss Squalling and crying. I couldn't hardly understand. I said, what's the matter with you? She said, we sat at the table. She said, every morning at the table. She said, I let a different child pray. You know, ask the blessing. And sometimes I'll ask the blessing. She said, but this morning, Haley, ask the blessing. I said, well, good. That's good. She said, but here's what she said. And she said, Lord, I want to thank you for Mom and Daddy. Thank you for saving Hannah. Hannah just got saved a couple Sundays for me. She said, and Lord, I will ask you to save me and Joshua and Caleb. And she said, that tore me up and said, then here's what she's saying. She said, Lord, even if it means me not getting saved, would you save Joshua and Caleb and my wife and just put her deep in my heart? Just busted like a woman right there at the table. I couldn't eat me. I had to get up, go in the bathroom and pray and cry. Hey, but she had a heart to see her brother and born again. Hello. And the man said, she had a heart. And I said, I'd never get born again.
Yeah.
Torments of hell are real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to see my aunt. She just sort of turned us away that night. I looked at her when the preacher got done. He said, you got anything to say? I said, don't you care if you're going to hell? She looked at me and said, no, I don't. And I left that night with tears rolling off my face. I felt like a devil had his bony finger in my face. And I got another one. Broke my heart. I've never heard nothing like it before. I've been saved long, but I've never heard nothing like that. I'll never forget about 10 years past. She never would come. We'd visit her another time or two. It is about the same. 10, 12 years past, I was working pitching. A hospice worker called me and said, she's calling for you. She wants you to come see her. I said, will tomorrow morning be all right? She said, yes, she's got a few days left. And I mean, I said, I'll be there in the morning. pulled that Pepsi truck in on across the road there in that parking lot, walked over there, and had. I walked in there, my uncle was standing in the doorway. When I walked up, he shook hands with me, but he just sort of dropped his head. She said, she's under the couch. He went on out the door, went about his way. That hospice lady was in there. She goes to the oldest church down the road that I knew, and I knew her, and she knew me. And I got in there, I got down the side of that couch, and she's laying on that couch now. She's sitting on 10, 12 years ago. She just looked like a skeleton laying there with just a sheet draped over it. There's nothing left. She hooked up on this hospital, and she said, I said, Grace, are you all? I said, I understand you're calling for me. She said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I said, what do you want me to do? She said, pray. And I got down beside her. We didn't have a big, we got to pray and thank God to give her one more chance. I pleaded with God to give her one more chance. I got done praying. I said, did you ask God to save you? She said, yeah. I said, what did God say? She said, he said, it's too late. It's too late. I left her house that day. And her screaming at the top of her lungs. It's too late. It's too late. I want to tell you, you wait until you draw your last breath. And it's going to be too late.
Amen.
Preacher, I don't believe in hell. You will.
Amen. Amen.
But when you get thoroughly convinced, it may be too late.
Right.
Right. I'd say probably the greatest prayer warrior I've got right now is not on this earth. It's probably my aunt, my hell. She's
probably
begging tonight.
Some sinner right
here would listen to what I'm preaching.
Yeah.
God bless you, brother. Boy, they are so mean. Don't have to go back. Oh, my blessed Lord.
Come on,
preach. He's a pleading. He's begging for his brothers. He's not sending down to my father's house. Tell my brothers don't come.
Yes.
Don't let them come.
Yeah.
This place of torment. I am tormented in this flame. Please tell my brothers don't come.
Yes.
I wonder how many of your loved ones in hell beg it.
God bless you, brother.
For you not to go. I want to tell you something, ma'am. This ain't no game. We're playing.
Right.
It's eternity.
Right.
Sir, we ain't just going through the motions. I can guarantee you something tonight. This ain't something that I would preach because I don't have anything else to preach. There's only one reason why I preach this. Well, I've been burdened all day about this
message.
I don't know who's here tonight. Well, I felt like last night, good strong conviction.
Yes.
And I really didn't know if he's going to be here tonight again, preacher, or not. But I sure do appreciate what God's doing already in my heart. Bearing the screaming in the distance, the screaming out and the crying and in the distance. I heard an old boy, I was working in a cotton mill. I heard him on the phone. He's planning a party that night. He said, well, if I don't see you tonight, I'll see you in hell and we'll party. I was going out of the canteen. That payphone was right there and I heard it. I was going out of that canteen. I done pushed the doors and walked out. And I heard him say, the Lord said, stop. I stopped and I just backed up. He got off the phone. I said, buddy, I want to tell you something. Ain't going to be no party in hell.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I said, matter of fact, you ain't even going to have no buddies in hell.
Amen.
And the only semblance of their presence you're going to find is hearing them screaming in the distance.
Right.
I don't understand about the fire that burneth with fire and brimstone, a lake of fire, that there's no light, but the Bible said it's a place of outer darkness.
Amen.
I don't understand that. But I don't understand the bush that's burning and not consumed. It's all God's business.
Amen.
The screaming in the distance. King Agrippa's probably still in hell. The screaming, almost, almost, almost. That persuadeth me to be a Christian.
Yes,
right.
My aunt's probably still screaming in hell.
Yes, sir.
Probably still screaming.
Yes, sir. I can imagine Judas screaming, "Ha! Betrayed in the blood!"
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Preached on old Ruth. Orpah the other night. Orpah went back to her people and to her gods. Probably died sacrificing the false gods and died and went to hell. Old Orpah's probably still screaming.
Yeah.
I went back! I went back! I went back!
Can you imagine old Felix when he said at a more convenient season?
Yeah.
Probably still in the distance in hell. He's just screaming, I had every opportunity. I had the best opportunity that a man could be.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to tell you something.
Yes, good Lord.
God deals with your soul about the fact that you're a sinner. I'm going to guarantee you something. I'm going to guarantee you something tonight. That is a miraculous, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
That a holy God that measures out the water in the hollow of his hand, spoke the worlds into existence, made a man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in his nostrils, and man became a living soul, and he would come out here in the Mount Moriah Baptist Church tonight and deal with your heart and tear it up about your soul.
The fire of hell. Mark chapter 9 said, for their worm died not, neither is the fire quenched.
Yeah.
The fire's not going to be quenched in hell. There's not going to be a break from it.
There won't even be a time like I'm trying to take right now and get a breath.
Amen.
There'll be fire, and you'll be in a lake of fire, and it'll be an eternal fire, it'll be a torment of fire.
I think it's, I don't know when it was, man, I'm thinking it's 2003. It's burning a brush pile. It's sort of a low-lying day, cloudy. I was in a hurry, I had somewhere to be that evening, and I was trying to get it done. I piled that brush up on a place. Before I piled it up, I put me a, rolled up some newspaper and run it through there. And had it stuck out on one side where I could light it, you know, and let it come up. I got it all piled up there and I poured some gas on that back side of it. Back there, Brother Danny, and I thought, you know, by the time I got the matches out of the truck and got out yonder and lit that thing, you know, them fumes would have been gone or whatever. But that low-lying day, had laid it in there.
Yeah.
It was so bad that I had an old lighter or something there and it wouldn't light. I had to run actually to the store and get matches. And when I come back, the fumes were still in that brush pile. When I lit that match, that thing blew up on me like a bomb in my face.
Yeah.
It burned my arm, my shirt up through here. It blew my hat like 20 foot away. And my hat was on fire and I had to stomp it out when I got over to it. Burned my hair all the way around my head, all over my head. And the doctor in the hospital said, you do know
you do know the smoke doesn't send hair like this, don't you? Said them flames. I said, oh, Doc, I know. Them flames had engulfed me. I watched them come by me. The whites of my eyes were burnt brown and dark looking. And my lips were melted together. And I had to pull them apart when I called my wife. And my hands were all melted on the skin. And the place I sat in red like wax that I still can't feel. And it melted and rubbed. Place about that big around. Just melted love. Torment. The
ball, Bridget. You just don't understand. You ain't ever been on fire, friend. You don't know what flame,
right,
what a torment fire is. And I tell you something. 2003, it's been 13 years ago. I'm going to confess something to you, man. I still have trouble lighting a gas grill. And still puts fear in my heart.
Yeah.
There's still times when, well, for weeks and months, I'd wake up screaming. One time as a young preacher, I was foolish enough to ask God to give me a vision of heaven so I could preach it effectively. Brother Oscar, I rolled that bed and I rolled that pillar. I tossed and I turned and I couldn't go to sleep till I finally got down on my knees and said, Lord, forgive me of my stupidity and my ignorance. I don't think I can handle that vision.
Come on.
I remember I went to the hospital and there's a man there and I always called him Doc. My wife said, every time you see him, you call him Doc, but he's just a nurse in the ER. And he was in there, and I don't know why in the world they was doing that. My hands is burnt up. Second degree burns all the way up my hands and my arms. He's trying to put an IV or turn the back of my hand or something out. But anyway, while he's doing that, I looked at him. My wife said, honey, you ask him that every time you go to church. Remember every time you've been in there, you've always asked him that. I said, Doc, you go to church? He said, well, I'm kind of in between. I said, where do you live? He said, I live in Junior Mills. I said, that's where I pastor. I said, well, come up here to church. I said, Doc, are you saved?
Well,
he starts stuttering. I reached and I grabbed a hold of his hand. Reached out from under that sheet. I grabbed his hand. I said, Doc, look at me. I said, this is just one split second in fire. Can you imagine what the hell's going to be like?
Yeah.
That old nurse got up, boy, he got to shaking. He got to shaking. He jumped up and he ran out, and I hadn't seen him since. I sent another lady in there. She come in there and put my IV in. I want to ask you something. You willing to gamble the torment size you want? Let's see what it is. I can't imagine what's going to be like to be in hell. Nobody's forever.
Right.
No, but there's never going to be a relief. But praise the hell.
Yeah.
It's forever, yeah, and forever, yeah, and forever, and forever, and forever, and there'll never be a break.
Amen.
Right.
No more invitations, homes.
Right. No more mama praying. No more preacher pleading. No more messages on hell. No more messages about the cross. No more blood to be shed. No more verses of just as I am without one plea. No more singing of amazing grace. No more peace. No more joy. Not another moment of hope.
Amen.
It's all going to be gone.
Yes, remember.
He said, son, remember. Thou in thy lifetime receivest thy
good
things. Yeah. And likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he's coming. Thou art tormented. I'm going to tell you something tonight. The haunting of the memory is going to be tormented in hell.
You'll remember messages like you're hearing tonight.
Yeah.
You'll remember every invitation song that's ever been sung and know that you have an opportunity and you turn it down and said no to God and said, I won't go.
Right,
I don't need it. Not me. Not tonight. The haunting of a memory. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in hell?
To remember this service and remember what you're thinking right now and remember what the devil convinced you of.
Yeah.
Remember how you walked out the door, got in your car, headed off the mountain or back the other way. Had that wreck.
Yeah.
Went out to meet God. I read you them statistics about how many die every year, every hour, every day, every hour, every minute, every second. But I want to tell you what the ratio is, really. It's 1-1. Every one born, every one dies.
Amen. That's right. It's 1-1. Amen. For every birth, there's a death. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this judgment, every last one of us are going to die and leave this world. You say, preacher, you ain't coming to me. Yeah, I am. You're going to die.
That's very real.
That is going in your tracks. And it's coming to me. And it's coming to you. Some of us are going to leave earlier than others. We're all going to die. Every time you've rejected the Savior, you're going to remember that. Parents, mom and dad, and the preacher prayed and begged you to come to God. You know what the worst part about it is? You don't have to go. Somebody said it ain't a loving God that sends you to hell. He ain't going to send you nowhere. You're going to make that choice.
Right.
You're making it tonight. I'm preaching to somebody and you're making your talk tonight. You may be sitting your due and you may be saying that in a few days what my head said, it's too late.
I preached church one time along these lines. Boy, I grew up with him, played ball with him all my life, graduated high school with him. He had a friend who went to that church, and that guy invited him to come.
That's it.
He sat there on the second pew on the right hand side of that friend and his wife.
That's it.
I got done preaching, and I sang a song, and we sang invitation. I got down there in front of him in the front there.
That's it.
I said, do you want to go to hell? And he shook his head no. I said, come out! You don't have to. But he stood there, Brother James, and fell on that pew. Shook his head no. When he went out the door, he said, can I get your phone number? I might want to call you sometime. I said, I wish you would, Tommy. I sure would like to talk to you about your soul. Took off. Seen him not long after that. I said, how is it with you? He said, oh, I'm doing great. Well, I'm good. I said, did you ever get saved? Did you get right with God? Oh, I don't need all this stuff. I'm going to tell you, there'll be a day God turned the light off and said, if that's the way you want it, that's the way you came.
Right.
I'll leave you alone. You can go down the road the way you're going. You can just go ahead and split hell wide open. That's where you want. You can have it.
Amen.
I don't know tonight who all God may be giving me. I want you to know hell's real tonight. Be some mamas tonight.
Whew. My wife's pastor, he pastored the church where she grew up for 60 years before he died.
He got saved just back yonder after the war. He got home from the Navy, lost as a goose, drinking and drugging, doing whatever he wanted to do, partying it up, having a good time. They started having revival at the church where he grew up. His mama, some of them other old ladies in the church, older ladies in the church, his Aunt Opal, I preached to her, buddy. She shut the house down. I preached up her at that old church. When I was a young preacher, she's dead and gone now. But he sent them over. Ladies got to fasting and praying, hadn't even told one another. So they got to fasting and praying for revival. He said, God sat down in that little holler, and for 14 weeks we had revival. Said he got so thick in there. Said my brother Ted was up in up there in the mountains making moonshine. Said the cops come up in there, pull in there, and said Pinky Butt. Said he didn't even try to hide or nothing. He just come on out there. He said, I know your boys was coming. He said, this will be the last time I'll be doing this. And said he got, he said he just went on over and sat down in the back of the car. And they didn't even handcuff him. And took him on down to the jailhouse. Said, Mama come and got him. About Wednesday night of that third week. And got him that order. He got for it. Hallelujah. He could have dipped into another pound and never seen us. Until just a little while ago when he checked out. And got to go home. Hey, thank God. He still saved them. And we need to get under the burden again. That's a thing when the sun
held. Amen.
Amen. How long has it been since you wept and cried over your loss?
Yeah.
Amen. I ain't just talking to y'all. I mean preaching to me. Thought about it today again. I was going back to the home church where I grew up as a boy to preach one Sunday morning. I got there and sat down about where Brother Oscar's at. My dad would always sit right here about that third or second row right there. My dad would sit there and then Mama and then we'd all sit on the pew with him. But that morning I just come in, sat down on the front row. The pastor's sick. He wasn't going to be there. Called on me to come preach. I sat down there waiting on everybody to come out of Sunday school, you know. A few people come by, shake hands with me, and people ain't seen in a long time. Went along my little brother. I got a brother 8 years younger than me. My little brother come out. He hadn't been married very long. I didn't know this, but when she saw that I was going to be the one preaching, she went on home. He had to ride mom and dad back to the house. I didn't know that until later. But he come out. And I looked at him. He looked kind of shabby, you know. Had a necklace around his neck. Earring pulled in his ear. He didn't have that earring in his ear because Daddy grabbed a hold of him when he come back home. He said, son, I'll tell you one thing. We ain't had earring in the living side of the house.
Amen.
I appreciate Dad like that.
Amen.
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 And, but Greg, boy, had that glassy look on his eyes. I thought, Lord, he's gone.
Yeah.
That fell too far, Lord. I thought that morning, sitting on the front pew. The Lord spoke to my heart, said, how long has it been since you wept and prayed over him? And it broke my heart, sitting on the front pew. You got to have a seat. I went down that back hall, went down there to the men's room, got in that men's room, and I shut the door and locked it behind me and fell down the floor and began to pray. I said, oh God, would you save my little brother? I went to home over that floor and begged God to save him. I got up there that morning to preach. I couldn't even hold my head up. I was a little bit ashamed of myself before I got up to preach because I hadn't been weeping and praying over my little brother. And him going to hell. And I didn't know how bad he got. I ain't seen him in a few months. Maybe even a year. It's been a while since I've seen him. It's been a while. I remember that morning I preached over there out of, I think it's maybe 2 Kings chapter 4 over there on death in the pot. But there is a remedy. Amen. They throw that meal in the pot. And God, that meal type of bread. And he said, I am the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And they throw that meal in the pot and they cheer in the pot. Amen. We're all sinners on our way to hell. We've all been born in this world full of sin. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Amen. We're sinners by practice, sinners by choice. We're sinners by birth.
Well, I'm glad there's a remedy.
Yeah.
For the sinful
heart. I got to preaching that. Boy, God helped me preach. And that morning, I called the lady up. My dad said, song leader. And I said, before y'all start singing something, I need to do something. I started singing that song when he reached down his hand for me. I got down that second verse and I started singing, I was near to despair when he came to be there. And he showed me that I could be free.
Yes.
He lifted my feet. Made me gladness complete. I saw my little brother fall over. Give his hands like that. And he's a shaking all over. And it's sitting over on the back where you're sitting, brother. And before I knew it, he done come out in that side aisle and crawl into the altar and go weeping and crying. I just kept on singing. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad whatever it's down in hand for me. Hey, God, hey, I want to go back and pray again. Go back and beg again. Hey, go back and cry again. Push that plate away again. Hey, God, beg God to save them one more time. Hey, get under a burden for them.
Yeah.
They're so. Some of our loved ones may be in hell for them.
Yes.
We need to junk that so what attitude. We got sinners.
Yeah.
Hey, some of them sitting right here
tonight. Yeah,
these folks sitting right here tonight. I believe this with all my heart. The Lord spoke to my heart just now. These church members sitting right here tonight. That does not have a sure salvation. I want to tell you something. If it wouldn't give me peace, I sure wouldn't count on it getting me to heaven.
Amen.
Thank God. Hey, I want to tell you what salvation is. It's peace, peace, peace. Thank God for the peace of God.
Yes.
Amen. Torments of hell.
Yeah.
Knowing what an opportunity you had tonight will torment you forever and ever. I want to tell you what you can do tonight. You can just, that ain't for me if you want to. And you ain't going to hurt my feelings tonight if you do that. Because I know you ain't doing it to me. And I've seen it done so many times.
Amen.
I tell you what you're going to do. It's God just stepped on it and said, I don't want you.
Right, brother.
Amen.
Exactly right.
It's God just saying, no! Get away from me! I don't want you.
Amen.
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 Oh, tonight would you come? I don't know how many may need to come around this altar tonight. Let's all stand. I don't know if I can sing it or not, but I'm going to try singing some. Let's all stand. If you want to help me, help me. If you need to pray tonight, if you need to pray tonight, this altar's open for you. If you're here and you're lost, there's people around here that will pray with you and help you pray. If you're here and you're unsure of your salvation, you say, preacher, I'm a doubting my salvation tonight. I want to tell you, if you're here and it's doubtable, thank God you're doubting it. I ain't trying to get you to doubt it, but if it's not sure, hey, friend, I'm going to tell you, the whole world couldn't make me doubt mine. I'm not sure about it. But if you're not sure tonight, you better fix it up. Because you may be in hell before morning. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be.
peace from above. When he reached down his hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, I was near to despair when He came to be there. And He showed me that I could be free. He lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete. When He reached down His hand for me, when the Savior reached out for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me.
Come on, Brother Tom. Let's sing something together, if you would. I don't know what you need to do tonight. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, right here in this service tonight, we could point out yonder and think of people out yonder back at the house, down the road. But I know in this service, right here tonight, God is dealing with one lost heart or two lost hearts tonight. And He wants to save you. You don't have to leave here in turmoil tonight. You can leave with peace down in your soul. Would you come tonight? While Jesus is calling. Would you come while He's calling? While He's pleading. While He's calling. Maybe you got lost children, family. You want to find. Maybe you ain't had a bird for like you ought to. You want God to give you a bird again. Man, tomorrow may be too late.
Struggling every night when you've got a million heads wondering if you're saved or if you're lost.
He said, examine yourself. What do you mean, the faith or no? If there is no peace, there is no salvation in your heart.
Oh,
amen.
I believe that, don't you? I believe that's right.
I'm not wrong, but I believe that's right. When they saved me, he gave me peace. When they saved me, they flooded my soul. And I'm known, hallelujah, ever since that I'm a child of God. Has the devil tried to make me count? Sure. But oh, buddy, I have a place. I can take you back down to and stay right there. He made a new picture out of me. Wild things are passing away. Wild things are coming. There's hope for your soul. Right now. There's hope for your soul. Now is your chance. Today is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he's near.
Strange thing for a preacher to ask.
I got a reason for it. Oh, my Lord, it's 20 after 8. We're starting 7 o'clock.
Yes.
120 minutes done passed.
Yes.
Since the service started.
Yeah.
I wonder how many's dropped off in the hill.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just why we've been having meetings tonight, Brother James. Just why we've been having service tonight. I wonder how many's dropped off in the hell tonight. God help me. I wonder how many before we get in the car and go home, we're dropped off in the hell.
Yeah.
You thought this was just a game?
God help
me. You thought you could just get by? You thought you could hide? But God knows where you are tonight.
Amen.
My God, I don't know what else to do, Lord. Lord, I don't preach. I think I'm just going to quit. Oh, Lord.
Help us, Lord.